Morning, Tim.
Good morning. And a beautiful morning it is. In fact,
it's
that
was.
I could sing, couldn't I? Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Is this what happens when we take a week off from our podcast? You break into song spontaneously at the first opportunity to share it with people.
Singing is good for you, isn't it? There's no doubt that singing is good for you. I love that.
I'm sure it is good for you.
I love the film Anger Management. Have you seen the film Anger Management?
No, my mum watched it when she was when I was younger, and I don't think I was remotely interested in it.
Oh,
I think it's a 15 as well, isn't it?
Is it?
Is it 15?
Me.
Yeah, so I think it probably is.
Who's in it? Adam Sandler and...
I wouldn't know, I haven't
Nicholson,
seen it.
What's his name?
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson. So...
Yes, the front cover of the DVD rings a bell.
They're driving across a bridge, and Jack Nicholson is the therapist, and he pulls the handbrake on, and they stop in the middle of the bridge. And Adam Sandler is... And Jack Nicholson sings to him, just to cheer him up. Anyway,
lovely. Well, I don't need cheering up today.
Good.
I don't need cheering up today, because the weather is beautiful outside. And it was a very busy week last week. We had a lot of work done to the front of church. It's still not all finished, but we're seeing the light at the end, as it were, quite literally.
We're seeing
the new lighting.
Yes.
So you'll have to come and visit, of course.
Yes,
everyone listening along, you'll have to come along and visit us. And we'll be delighted to show you what our gift day for 2020 has brought into the church. And it really is wonderful. So thank you for giving us the space last week to have a week of rest. But we're back, and we're excited to be able to share with you again as part of our NBC Connect podcast. We've been following a series on Sundays, Tim. I don't know if you wanted to share a little bit about what you've been talking about. I mean,
yeah,
I can
thank
do it,
you.
But you're the guy. You're the man.
Thank you for listening. Well, I assume. I think it was one of those moments when I wasn't quite sure what our series should be, actually. But this theme of one really was pressing into my head and my heart, really. And I take it that was a bit of God inspiration, and these few verses in Ephesians chapter 4 verses 1 to 6 where Paul emphasizes this oneness of the people of God, and I just got very captivated by those six verses, really, and I hope they've been helpful to those who have listened. I'm sure not all of them, but hopefully some of them. But it is an amazing reminder just of what we have to share, not only for us as individuals in our relationship with God, not only for us as the church, the family of God who are one, but also across the world. And I think it was just, you know, these moments have been quite shaking us, haven't they? And we've been 6 months into lockdown, and I think I just wanted that good reminder that we are one, and we have so much to be thankful to God for, of our unity that we find in Christ. And Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the unity of the Spirit, and I hope that has been the sort of underlying theme of this, to celebrate what we have in common, to celebrate our unity with Christ and with one another. And and this week we come to the last one, so listen in, I hope, or come to church and enjoy it.
We've been, of course, that's been going through Ephesians chapter 4, so presumably people, if they wanted to read ahead for the weekend, given we followed verse by verse, they'll probably be able to work out what
yes.
this weekend's
week six
talk is going to be all about. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So, of course, you may think that's self-explanatory, but do join us at the weekend
for us
to be able to break it down further. And
thank you, Tom.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. It's been great, and it has been great to be back in church and seeing people's faces on Sunday mornings. It still looks a little different from what we would, I guess, ideally like it to be, but also it's created new things that we've had to do. It's kicked us into this online era, which I guess we've been saying for years, but really more recently in the past 12 months that we've got to do it. And it's sort of forced our hand a bit.
And just great to know people are listening at home as well, and enjoying that, and thanks again for the feedback that you've given. And that is much appreciated. And we'll look forward to taking the next steps of some in-house and also some online. So some live streaming perhaps is the next step for us for parts of the service. And we're looking forward to working towards that over these next few weeks so that it does change the experience a little bit. But we keep together in terms of what it is that we're watching, whether in the church or at home still.
And that extends to our kids' work as well. We've been sharing our kids' online ministry, and it's been great to see. We've already seen, even this week, people sending things in. And some people who've been sending stuff in aren't even people who normally come to our church, which is incredible. You know, we just cannot imagine the reach that some of what Newcastle Baptist Church is doing right now. We just can't picture it because we maybe have got into this mindset of what we do in church is the be-all and end-all, where actually we've got a far bigger reach, we've got a community to reach out to, we've got festivals coming up, we've got Remembrance Sunday, we've got Christmas, we've got all sorts of events, and we are planning to make these events something that the community can join in with, whatever that will look like. And so we are excited for the next steps of NBC, and it promises to be a fun few months, I'm sure, doesn't it?
I think it does, Tom, yes, and especially Christmas. I mean, what a fantastic opportunity we've got at Christmas to engage our community and celebrate as well, you know. And I think, you know, if we can help our community to celebrate, then I think we'll have achieved something great around the Christmas story and the coming of Jesus, and let's bring light into the darkness. It's exactly what Jesus did, and he still does. So let's make every effort we can to do that and reach out to those around us, because there's stories to be written, aren't there? You know, and there's stories to be told, and each of us has got a story. It started somewhere, our journey of faith. And, some of us have been on this journey a long time. Some of us are just starting. Some of us are still wondering what it's all about, perhaps. But but thankfully, you know, we can be part of that story. And when our stories join together, it is the church, the people of God, who are called together for such a time as this to be witnesses and to reach out into Newcastle with this light. So talking of stories, Tom, I've known you now for a year.
Yeah.
Just over a year. Well, we've met together for a year now. And I do know a few things about you.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you're a Liverpool supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you love doing children's and youth work. I know that you have a sister in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, do I know, Tom?
I was going to say, I hope you're not going to say you know my PIN number and it is 1234.
I know that you're a very talented young guy and who's helped us incredibly during this time, and has a real heart for God and for reaching people with the good news of Jesus. That's what I know. But I was interested as to where this all began for you, Tom, as to a little bit about your story. And I'm sure there's some at Newcastle Baptist Church who do know this story, and perhaps at your baptism you shared some of this.
Yeah.
But it would be great just to have a little bit dig into your background, really. So tell me how your church journey started anyway, because I guess the faith journey came a little bit later, given that you were brought up in a Christian family, really.
Yeah, well, I always look back to my mum and dad, and they are, I mean, there's no such thing as an example Christian, I guess, but they are two very fine, I've got to be careful what I say here, because I'm sure they'll listen. They're two wonderful people, both love Jesus, they've got a real heart, and they had a heart for sharing church, Jesus and faith with both me and my sister from the moment we were born. And we were engrossed in faith. There'd probably be an argument to say that it would have been very hard for us to avoid it, to be honest, because the way that we were brought up, going to my parents' small church when we were growing up, we were taught biblical things, and we kind of got a good amount of knowledge, I would say. We learnt a lot about Jesus. We learnt a lot about the stories of faith, and we learnt a lot about the reasons why faith is important. But and I would probably, in fact, I would say for sure that when I was, and I, this is a thing, it gets a bit fuzzy. I can say roughly when I became a Christian, but it's not like I had a magic day when it happened, because there was a day when I gave my life to Jesus and I was sat on the toilet at my parents' house that's two houses back now. So I can age it at some point between the ages of 5 and 8. When I kind of said that, like, I knew I did wrong things in my life and I wanted Jesus to help me going forwards. And I recognised that God did give his life up for me, and that in return, my response is to say, I believe you, I believe in all of this, and I want you to come into my life and help me to be better. So that was said profoundly, I presume, as a 7-year-old while sat on the toilet. And it was kind of a bit of a journey from there. What I would say is high school wasn't quite so kind to me. And I guess what a lot of young people these days go through, especially those who are brought up in church, is that realization where you begin to make your own assessments and judgments on things. And that doesn't mean to take away anything from what I did when I was sat on the toilet all these years ago. But it is very much a case of I began to question things. I began to ask questions that I would say it is normal for any person to be asking. You have to answer these questions in order to have a solid faith. And if you don't repeatedly question your own faith, I think you get into a laziness. I think you have to be constantly kind of saying, okay, where is God in this? What's the deal with this? Did Adam have a belly button? All of these important questions. And in high school, some of you will know this, but I actually had a really bad sporting injury. And it crippled my social life for the entire first year of high school, which is effectively the time to make friends. And I was having a rough time of things. And really, I would say that I got to the point of sort of saying, I don't really know what's going on in my life anymore. I don't know why God would want this to be the case, why I'm getting bullied pretty much every day in school because I've got a very bad injury. And it was just not a very fun time. And through a friend of a friend, well, a friend of my dad, I started coming along to the Newcastle Baptist Church youth group, which was on a Sunday evening. I was there in my crutches, not able to kind of do a lot of the things I wanted to, but there were people there who became my friends, and some of them are now lifelong friends. And there was a great moment when I'd gone for 1 week and I didn't really know anyone who was there. But then the second week, quite a few people who weren't at the first week were there. And I realised that the person who lived next to my grandparents went to the youth group, and one of my friends from primary school went there. And I kind of began to realise that there were more people than I guess I thought there were who were interested in faith. And there's always that idea of, and again, for young people today, there's this thought of, am I the only one in my class, in my school, who believes this? And, you know, if I'm the only one, then that makes me weird, right? Whereas when I came along here, and yes, I felt like that at the start, but over time, I began to see, actually, there's quite a lot of people who they're going on this journey as well. And I suppose, at the end of the day, bones heal, and I, yes, I broke more bones after that, but from kind of age 12 onwards, I was coming to the youth group, I was a part of things, and it was great to sort of just be there and be part of this community, being able to ask questions, being able to talk about things that I was struggling with, talk about some of the stuff that comes up when you're growing up as a boy in the world, and all of this sort of stuff. But I was still going to my parents' other church, which wasn't teaching a different perspective, but it was kind of just a very different approach to Jesus' faith and all that sort of thing. And eventually I kind of took the decision that I was going to kind of dedicate my time to coming to Newcastle Baptist Church instead. So that was about age 14. And I was still at this point of really questioning a lot of what was going on. I was still having these questions. Most of them were science related, to be honest. I was loving doing science in school, and there are a lot of questions that come up. But we went away as a church to an event called Soul Survivor. And for those of you who've met me and spoken to me, you'll probably know that I was quite passionate about the work that they do. I think it's a remarkable thing. And it just totally fits in more with the thing of saying, am I the only one? Well, when you see 10,000 other people who are doing the same thing as you are, you really get that sense of, no, I'm very much not the only one, and a real building up of faith. And I think it was in 2008, so 15 years old, when I sort of had that moment as, I would say, someone who was mature enough, which is hard to believe, but someone who was mature enough to say, I'm going to say again to you, Lord, that I want to be your servant. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm going to kind of reaffirm my life to you and say that this is who I am. And it's taken me on this journey from then forwards, through university, through times in high school when I stood up at the front of an assembly and somewhat reluctantly, I'd say, but shared things about faith. And it's just been this topsy-turvy ride that has sort of brought me to this point here of sitting, staring at a laptop screen, talking to you.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I was brought up in a Christian family as well, and you know, your story echoes a bit of mine, really. You know, that there was a key moment for me as a kid, but actually there were some really important parts of that journey, and one of them, I think, is being with a group of peers, isn't it? You know, and you found a group of peers at Newcastle Baptist Church that actually was so crucial to you at that particular moment to realise you weren't on your own, you weren't being dumb, stupid, and trying to believe this, but actually that they all helped you just to find that stability, but also you had adults around you who actually then inspired you as well. And I've always been inspired by people who are like 10, 20 years older than me, you know, as well as people like yourself, Tom, who are younger than me. But to know that somebody has been on this journey longer than me and is still full of faith, full of joy, full of fire, is an incredible challenge to me, you know. And even at those times of doubting, you know, through my journey, when I looked at people like that, it was like, oh my goodness me, it's amazing, isn't it? The difference that it's made to them and the difference they're making. And I think that those things are so important into our journey of faith. We're not, you know, this isn't a lone, you know, the loneliness of a long distance run. You know, this is in community, and it's so important to be with other people in this whole journey as well.
And I
guess you found that as you got older, I guess, as well, into university and even now as well.
Well, I mean, I guess before even university, I suppose I can say I will be forever grateful to the people who were my youth leaders when I was growing up. Both Andy and Sarah Davey, who many of you know in our church, were really instrumental in just giving space to ask the questions that we had. And that's one of the things that, you know, we always strive to do. It's great us making a curriculum of things for our young people. And we do it because it's the sensible way to lead. If you don't have a plan, then you're preparing to fail. But actually giving space, because that's what, and if you are chatting with young people, just giving them space to be able to talk about what they want to talk about, to be able to ask the questions that they have. We may not have all the answers, but I'm sure that there will be many occasions when we are able to say, this is what the Bible says, this is what I believe, and actually putting the pieces together, having, as you said, someone who maybe is a little bit older than you to be able to just talk about their life experience, even if it's just that they're 5 years older than you, they've gone through university. Being able to have a talk with people who'd gone through university before I went to university was amazing, because it was just they were able to say some of the stuff that we would see and what they did to be able to get through it. And it was a real help when I went away to uni as well, to be able to hear these stories and be able to speak with people, you know, people in our church like Cy and Suze, who again had both gone through uni, who were solid in their faith, and be able to like share things with them that came up and just be able to have opportunities to talk. University was an incredible time for me. My story was one that has been echoed by loads of young people this year of having to go through clearing and having all of that mad uncertainty. But when we look back, we really say God was totally a part of that clearing process. You know, when you're ringing up universities, and this is no disrespect to the University of Coventry, but I don't think me going and doing nursing at the University of Coventry was really what God had in plan for in store for me. And so the opportunity to go down to the West of England University, Bristol, it was just the most incredible experience. And everyone has different experiences with university. And I'm sure lots of people would say they had a great experience. But I can look back on my time and say I had a really great experience of university. I'm still in touch with a number of people that I went there with. I went to visit my housemates just a couple of weeks ago. We sort of felt that we were finally able to meet up amidst all of the rules. And I look back on it and I just think, what an amazing experience, both of university life and of church life and of Christian Union life. And there were lots of things that I would never have expected to have happened. I will put my hand on my heart and say I didn't really expect that I'd find my home in an Anglican church. For me, it was always a little bit, I don't know, just not what I expected, but I found my home there. And for 3 years, I had a great time being part of an Anglican church in Bristol, which again, still will go and visit nowadays, which is great. The Christian Union I was part of had the most incredible leadership team, and I was blessed to be able to be involved in that in my second and third year of uni. And we just were able to do so many things. We kind of packed out the biggest lecture hall on campus for part of our events week. We ran loads of things. We had a FIFA tournament where I won it on the 1 year, and then the next year the president of the CU came over to me and kindly whispered in my ear that he thought I should lose this game in order to for the sake of the gospel, I seem to recall he said,
for the sake of the betting syndicate, you should throw it,
like. quite possibly so we had an epic game that I think ended about 5-all with some calamitous defending by myself.
Oh,
and
really?
And it went to penalties, and of course, if you hold the button down too long, it does shoot over the crossbar. So, I kind of smiled and giggled to the guy at the end of the game, and I was just like, there you go. But you know, it's about being humble, isn't it?
trying to be anyway.
But all the way through university, I know God was there. I know through the experiences that I had, through the friends that were put before me. God was totally a part of it. And even going down to my degree classification, for those of you who know my academic things, I have a tendency to perhaps, you say underperform in exams, but I just have a tendency to probably not revise enough, if we're being honest. But I managed to get a good degree by 2 marks out of, 1,200? So I was 2 marks over the grade boundary. Not 1 mark.
Why make any more effort than that?
Yeah, not 1 mark, because I like, me and my dad joked afterwards that God's sense of humour was saying, I've got you, and I'm not going to make it just by 1 mark. I'm going to show you how powerful I am. You're going to be 2 marks over. And then of course coming here to Newcastle Baptist Church, again, a funny story, and I think that's probably for another day as time's running away, because that in itself is a funny little story of how I became at the time the ministry assistant at NBC all those years ago, and I've kind of stuck here since, become part of the furniture, as they say.
Is it 6 years, Tom? Is it?
Yeah,
6 years?
It is now 6 years.
Wow. And, so you were very young when you started this.
Well, yes. But, I was fresh out of university. I looked a lot fresher, I'm sure, as well. And I'll certainly have been a little bit skinnier, but I think marriage played a part in that rather than anything else.
I don't think you can blame marriage for eating, don't worry. but it's fantastic, isn't it? And it's just great to acknowledge, you know, all those steps. And I think the more...
People in our lives have such an impact, don't they? It is people.
It's amazing.
It is people. It's our parents who just showed us that being a Christian was a great way to do life. It's our grandparents who've been a positive influence on us our entire lives. It's having all of these people around you. Those people who, even in our church now, there's people who I guess they're not really, they're not auntie and uncles, but they're people who I've grown up knowing as that because they have that same influence on you.
And again, it flips it back round, doesn't it? Because you now have an influence on others, you know, and I have an influence on others. And it is that constant thing that, you know, we all have an opportunity, you know, to live a life that pleases God, or as Paul says in Ephesians 4:1, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. You walk in the way that is worthy of that with Jesus. And as you do that, then, you know, you have impact. And sometimes it's surprising, isn't it? You know, it's always surprising to hear when people say, well, I you know, what you said then made such a difference. And I can't even remember saying it, but thank you, Lord, you know, that you used it, you know, that you used it. And I can't believe that people remember from years ago, you know, and but that's the power we have. And it's a reminder also that people remember when it wasn't quite so good, or when we didn't say the right things, or we reacted in the wrong way, you know, that people remember that as well. And so that's not to put us under pressure, but actually it's to remind us, you know, that our lives make a difference. And as you've mentioned, many different people around you, you know, they made a difference to you, and now you're in a place where you can make a difference to others as well. And I think coming back to Ephesians 4 a little bit, perhaps as we just come to land on this today, you know, Paul in Ephesians 4 he's reminding the people in Ephesus what is right at the heart of their lives, you know, and this basis of faith. And these 7-1 statements in verses 4 and 5 and 6, you know, are so foundational to us as we remember that we do have one Lord, we have one hope, we have one Spirit, you know, there is one body. And it's good for us to say that to ourselves, because it's a reminder not only of what we have in Christ, but also what we as the church community share together as well. And Paul was so good at reminding his readers, you know, the local churches that he wrote to, you know, come on, this is what we have. Now let's celebrate that, and let's let the world see it, because it's a tough place to be. And the letter to Ephesus, you know, if you read in Acts chapter 19, you know, the context for that church in Ephesus was in a very mixed culture where they served other gods. You know, where Artemis was the god of the city. And Paul comes in and says, no, there's one God and Father of all. You know, and this is, and we've seen this in Jesus. And the city were in uproar. Have a read of Acts 19. It's a great story. But there was such a confidence that Paul wanted people to have. And so he writes back to the church in Ephesus, come on, this is what we have in common. Let's celebrate it, let's acknowledge it, and let's live it out. Then the world will see it as well. But it's never easy, is it? And I'm sure in your journey, Tom, you've had tough moments where the enemy's been at work, where you've needed the protection of the word of God, but also of God's people around you praying, earnestly praying for you as well.
I had this picture of what my baptism was going to look like. It would be a swimming pool, and I'd be in the pool, obviously, and all my friends, everyone I knew, would be around the edge of the swimming pool as a witness to people. And it's funny you say about those moments that come along that shake us and that cause us, I guess, sadness, because there was a moment when, for those of you who know my extended version of the story, my grandparents died very unexpectedly. And there was that kind of period afterwards where I kind of got that real sense of there's never going to be a perfect time for a baptism. There's never going to be that moment when every single person is going to be able to be gathered there, because your life is a journey that's going forwards. And we can't, people who have gone behind us are not going to be able to be a part of our story in the future. And in a way, that was the prompt. That was the thing that took me. And it was an immensely sad moment. Please don't ever think that it wasn't, because it was horrific, to be honest. The whole story of being away on mission, the first time I'd been abroad, and then that shaking at the start of the week was just, it was just devastating. But as we move forwards, I would say that was a catalyst for me becoming, for me being baptised. And it was something that was able for me to be able to say, there is no perfect time, and that's why now is the time. And so many people, I guess, on their faith journey, they probably have this mindset, well, it's not for me right now, but maybe in a few years it's going to be relevant. I'm going to be able to devote more time to the church. My family's getting in the way right now. I'm going to let my kids sort of grow up a bit, and then I'll come back to church. And actually, you know, God isn't so interested, I think, in the exact timing. He just wants you to do it now. God has a plan for each of us. Please don't misquote me. God has a plan, and God follows our journey. I remember being told a while back that our lives kind of go in a straight line, and God's weaving in and out of it throughout the entirety of time. He's outside of our timeline, but he drops in and pulls away, and so on. And for me, that's a great picture of where we're at, because there's going to be so many things, but actually the closer we can get our line to matching up with God's, the better experience of life we're going to have. We're going to have life in all of its fullness. As I love sharing, you know, if you joined us last time, you'll know it's my favourite verse in the Bible. So, yeah, it is. There's these so many stories. And, you know, like you said, Ephesians chapter 4 has these statements and, you know, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And these are, it's just, it is such a powerful few verses. And I think I'd studied the book of Ephesians before this series. Of course I had. But I guess I hadn't focused on these phrases of how we should live in oneness, as it were. So it has it has been great to follow it through. And of course, just before this, me and Tim were looking at Ephesians chapter 6 for a bit about the armour of God. And it's really interesting just reading all of the various aspects of armour that we can put on to help shield us from these things that come along in our lives that do rock us. And they are. They're things that absolutely rock our faith.
And I think that's what's so great about, you know, the Bible and Paul in particular. Now, he acknowledges that this is tough. And the church in Ephesus had a tough battle against the culture of its day. You know, aggression and hatred and anger and physical violence against them. And yet Paul keeps saying to them, come on, you know, we've got to build this resilience in this. It's not easy, but actually there's resilience to be found. And there's protection for you in this passage in Ephesians 6. And even going through this coronavirus time, you know, it's easy just to lose sight. It's easy to waver. It's easy to take our eyes off what counts. And I think these words from Ephesians 6 that I'm just going to read now are a reminder to us, you know, that every day when we get up, we put on this armour provided for us by God so that we might be able to stand. And I want to read these verses, Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. This is from the ESV, but I want you just to listen, to pause what you're doing, to stop and just put this armour on. And as we put it on, then we're ready for the next challenge that we face. This is to help us stand. And I want to read this for each person listening today, that this might be your experience every day before the day starts, to put this armour on and to be able to be that witness for Jesus. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Amen.
Amen. Each week we have been praying over the coronavirus pandemic in our world, and we want to do the same with you this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, the Apostle Paul experienced a supernatural time of fruitfulness in the city of Ephesus. With a small team, what started as a church plant of 12 transformed one of the darkest cities in the Roman world. The spiritual impact of this church was so profound that the message of the gospel affected the whole province of Asia. And in the words of Paul, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Father, we ask that you would infiltrate our cities and nations, just like you did in Ephesus, through the preaching of gospel and a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Today we choose to be strong in you, Lord. We are thankful for your power and strength in our lives. Help us to realise more every day that our ultimate battles are not against viruses or even our fellow humans. We are in a battle with the demonic hosts of our greatest adversary, the devil. Our foes are not mere humans. We cannot afford to contend with them as if we were in the natural realm. We must war with spiritual weaponry, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we come before you today, not as individuals, but as a unified prayer army representing 180 nations. We ask you to expose Satan and his hosts who are blinding billions of people in our world through lies and deception. The light of the gospel is greater than the deepest darkness.
Lord, you have given us the privilege to serve you. We're aware that COVID-19 is still churning through the nations of our world. Our economies have been damaged, the seams of our nations are in danger of splitting, societal, ethnic and political tensions are spilling over in the streets of our cities. But we take our stand on this truth, that the name of Jesus is greater than the power of any virus and unrest. Jesus, you have the power to eradicate this disease. You have the power to heal our economies, and only you can save our world. Lord, we come before your throne this morning in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. We ask you to eradicate COVID-19 and heal our fractured lands. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Whoa, that's got me ready for whatever's next. And a great reminder that we are never alone. We use God's power and gain the victories. Thanks, Tom. That was very inspiring to hear your story. And I'm sure that's just a snapshot, but I'm sure everyone will be encouraged. Mm-hmm. And continue in the faith you were taught and be strong.
Have a wonderful rest of the day, week, and we'll see you on Sunday, whether you're joining us online or in person. We'd love for you to connect in with us, check in with us, and yeah, we look forward to sharing with you again. And we'll be here this time next week as well, on Wednesday, for another week of NBC Connect. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.